John chapter 12 is the last public ministry of Jesus before the start of the Passion narrative. And as his ministry concludes in the chapter, John records some of the responses that are made to Jesus in his ministry. Last week we looked at that response made by Mary as she anoints Jesus with that costly perfume. And I encourage us all to just consider perhaps our own response to the person and work of Christ. Maybe she looked like Mary's that time. I mean, we just highlighted some of the elements of her response, because if you respond like Mary, if I respond like Mary, probably some of those same elements will mark our response to the Lord. Today I just want to note a couple of things that are from the chapter that can hinder a good response to the Lord, that can hinder a right response to the Lord. Towards the end of chapter 12, we get these verses. So Jesus has been talking, and it says, "These things Jesus spoke, and then he went away and hid himself from them." That is the end of his public ministry. From there on in, he hides himself from the public. I mean, there will be public scenes as they all yell, "Crucify him." But here he's been speaking, and here comes the end. He went away and hid himself from them. And then John kind of gives a summary of the response to Jesus in his ministry that all comes to an end. "Though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them.' These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him." So there's the end of Jesus' public ministry, and in this summary of the response to Jesus. And the report that John gives is basically so many signs, so little believing. And that response is the fulfillment of things that have been prophesied. And John quotes some things from Isaiah. And I thought that just that simple report, so many signs, so little believing. Notice that response is narrated simply in terms of believing or not believing. The singularity of that is worth noting. In other words, people see signs, and the response should be believing. If there's not like so many signs, but they still have not let your good personal interrelational skills. Nothing like that. There's nothing kind of like so many signs, and they're still not willing to volunteer to lead small groups. There's nothing like that there. Not so many signs, but they still have not dealt with the baggage from their past family of origin. That's not there. Not so many signs, and still not ready to try to make a difference in the world. That's not there. All of Jesus' signs, and all of them being recorded and written down by John, are not so that we gain new skills, not so that we sign up, not so that we volunteer, not so that we form agendas or start projects. They're all there so that we would believe. No doubt believing, a believing response, includes lots of things. So no doubt about that. But just notice that the issue is framed simply in terms of, do they believe or do they not believe? Also, I just want you to notice again how John prefers to talk of believing. He speaks of the verb rather than of faith, rather than of belief. He does not, in fact, nowhere in his gospel does he use the noun faith, belief. He prefers to speak of believing. So his concern always is with living, acting, speaking in a believing manner. John's question is not, do you hold to the Apostles' Creed? That's not his question. His question is always, are you living like you hold to the Apostles' Creed? That's his question. And that concern of living in a believing manner, that explains why in the Gospel of John, the question of believing never gets fully settled. It's always an open question. Because it's possible to have lived yesterday in a believing manner. Maybe yesterday you lived in a believing manner, but today you're not living in a believing manner. That's very possible. And so the question stays open, because each new day brings a new opportunity to either live in a believing manner or not live in a believing manner. So John is always asking us, what has your faith done lately? And I just want to add to that, you know, I've kind of championed throughout the study of the Gospel of John that John is very helpful. John is instructive with respect to some of the issues that come up after you've been a Christian for a while. As you mature, as you get down the road a ways, John always comes at the end and wants to help us know how's it supposed to end up? What's it supposed to result in? And this issue of do you have the noun faith or do you have the verb believing is right on target for an issue I think that's very important as we mature in the Lord and as we've been in this for a while. Many of us have had faith for many years. But a good question for those of us who have had faith for many years is not do you have the noun, but do you have the verb? I think this is a very pertinent issue for the church of today, too. Tell somebody that you're a person of faith, and you won't ruffle any feathers. You'll be completely accepted. Even tell them that you're a person of the Christian faith. And that won't hardly bother anybody, perhaps just a few. But you'll be accepted and usually approved even. But live like you believe it. That'll get you disapproval in a hurry. That'll get frowns. That'll get opposition. Even from within the church. Not just from the world. To be a Christian is very American. In fact, a lot of people around the world see those things almost as synonymous. You know, to be an American, be a Christian, kind of like, to be a Christian is very American. To live like a Christian is not the American way. And so John is kind of right on target for, I don't know, like a very important issue, in my view, in the church today. Because the issue is not, you know, do you have the noun? Do you have the Christian faith? Do you have an orthodox statement of faith, but are you living in a believing manner? For most of us in this coming week, the issue will not be, is your statement of faith orthodox? The issue will be, do you have a life of believing? Do I have a life of believing? So even the way John frames the discussion, I think, is just instructive for those of us down the road a little ways. After those words about the unbelieving response, so many signs, so little believing, John goes on to say this. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Just note that last sentence. They weren't confessing him because they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So we're told of these who believe but aren't confessing him. Their heart's responding but not their mouth, right? With the heart you believe and the mouth you confess. So their heart's responding but not their mouth. I think that speaks to a hindrance, to a limitation in their response. Because as the heart believes, the mouth ought to speak. But they're hindered for this reason. I just want us to note it. That they love the approval of men. They love the approval of people rather than of God. There's something like this earlier in John. In chapter 5, we read this verse. It's also talking about response to Jesus. When Jesus himself says, how can you believe? When you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. So So I think identified there is just a hindrance. A life of believing is a very difficult road, probably an impossible road, if getting recognition and honor from people is desired. If you love the approval of people, living in a believing manner is going to be very hard. So we can be hindered in our response to Jesus and to his ministry if we love the approval of people and receive glory from people. So that's one hindrance. Let me add another one, and then I want to just talk real briefly about the two of them together. Also in chapter 12, we get this verse. Most of you will recognize it. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. There's similar verses to this one in the other three Gospels as well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, sometimes multiple times in those other Gospels. This is the only time this verse appears in John, in chapter 12. And there is, in John's version of the verse, there is a phrase in this version that is not in any of the other recordings of this verse, written records of this verse. So what's the phrase in this verse that's only in John? Does anybody know? There are not very many phrases, so you can keep guessing. It's in this world. Life in this world. That the one who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Usually when we read these verses, it's about the one who loves his life and needs to lose his life in order to find it. Usually we think primarily in terms of the self, of the ego, don't we? Of too much focus on me rather than not enough focus on the Lord or on God or something. Too much selfish stuff. So that's what those verses about loving our life tends to mean. But John makes us think not simply in terms of too much emphasis on the self, too much emphasis on me. He also makes us think in terms of too much emphasis on life right now, on life here on earth, earthly life, too much thinking about our place in the world. Too much focus on our accomplishments and the recognition that comes our way and the success that we have or the agendas that we pursue. So I think here is a second hindrance to a life of believing, loving our life in this world. A really neat verse in Acts, which is part of the farewell to Paul to the Ephesians, where he said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish the course. In the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul says, in order for me not to be hindered in my response, I can't consider my life in the here and now as dear. So he's not just talking about too much introspection, it's just what life in this world consists of. Can't love that too much or you'll be hindered. So neither of these hindrances to believing, not that one of loving the approval of man, seeking glory from man, and not this one of life in this world, neither of those are usually seen as wrong or evil, are they? I mean, the approval of man to gain recognition and honor from others, that's usually a good thing. And it's okay to be liked, right? Okay to be admired. Okay to be approved. I mean, quite a few of us probably in recent days have gone to some awards banquet, right? You know, either for schools or for work, where we're handing out approval of people to others. You know, and if your kid wins or you win or something, we all clap. You know, that you're getting some recognition from people. And when you come back from the awards banquet, nobody pulls you aside and says, did your faith survive that? They don't see that as a huge obstacle to faith, to believing. And life in this world. And God has given us all things to enjoy. And God's blessings include health and happiness and good things and good times. Ecclesiastes, a book dedicated to life under the sun, to life in this world. returns repeatedly to that idea that God's reward for people living on earth is that they would find enjoyment and delight in the work of their hands, in their family, in their home, in the food and drink that they have. And yet, these things are spoken of as hindrance to walking in a believing manner, to living in a believing manner. To love the approval of people, to love the awards and recognition that comes from people, can hinder walking out our confession. To want to secure things in this life can be a drag on what a believing response would look like, can be a hindrance to living in a believing manner. Those types of hindrances probably, for the most part, don't attack our faith, don't attack the now. But those things can attack the verb in my life and in your life. They can attack a believing in response. If I love the approval of men, it doesn't threaten the confession that I hold to of the Apostles' Creed. But it may affect whether or not I live like I hold to the Apostles' Creed this week, right? That's the point. So here's an example. Actually, it's fairly personal. I felt like as I was thinking about these things and praying about these things this week, the Lord kind of challenged me with this. I'll do it a little bit generic, but you can easily see how it applies to me as well. I want you to think about Life Christian Fellowship and what God has for us, whatever that may be. And I want you to assume for a second that we have an orthodox statement of faith. Not on the website yet, but we'll quick put one up. We'll put some orthodox statement of faith up on the website. So we have that, okay? And now ask yourself, what if the plans God has for us, what if the path that he has for us to walk do not win for us the approval of men? What if that's so? That for us to take hold of what God has for us, to walk in that, to give a believing response to him and his purposes for us, does not result in us winning the approval of people. People will not end up saying approving things of us. I mean, maybe you had friends, maybe you had relatives. They were not so sure that Life Christian Fellowship was a good thing, was a good direction to move in. And don't you immediately feel the tug that you want LCF to gain the approval of men? We want to be written up in the Pasadena Star News that for a little church is the most influential church in the area, right? Then you can take that and say, see that? Right? And then ask yourself, I'd ask myself, is that what I love? If I gain that approval, is that what I would love? Do I love the approval of men? Is that what I'm working for, to make it look and get it established and make it run and make it function in ways that Eric says, wow, that's a good church. But what if taking hold of what God has for us doesn't win approval? Does that zap all your enthusiasm for going that way? So I had to ask myself, if I attained to that place where we won lots of approval, is that when I would say, and for that reason would I, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that, we got approved. And then also, just think of some of the things, pick up that other hindrance, good things that you love in life. What if living out your faith called for a sacrifice of those things? Don't you immediately feel the tension? You would want to be a person who would give them up for Jesus, right? If he really asked. But he's not really asking, is he? What if the Lord says, I want you not only to support Jonathan, I want four of you to go with him. He wouldn't ask that, would he? What about the trip I have planned? What about that? So those good things, life in this world. We would like to be people, were Jesus to say, Lord, anything, in everything is yours, I give it all up, were you to ask? They can be hindrances to your statement of faith, but to a believing response. So then just kind of quickly, this is a little bit conclusion, a little bit set up for when we come back to this. In this chapter, in chapter 12, there are some Greeks who come, they're coming to the Passover, and they want to see Jesus. And it's an interesting thing here at the end of Jesus' public ministry, you get like some allusions to the Gentile thing. So these Greeks, they want to see Jesus. They find a couple of the disciples and say, hey, we want to see Jesus. So the disciples come and report that to Jesus. And Jesus says, in response to the disciples, the Greeks aren't there yet, he says to the disciples, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. If you had to write the next verse, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, that's going to start happening now. What do you think would take place next? I mean, our tendency is, well, the Greek megachurch is going to open up right across the street from the synagogue, right? The first Greek megachurch right there. I mean, doesn't that show how God is glorifying his Son? The very next verse is this one. Jesus says, truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And then the next verse is that one about the one who loves his life in this world. You know, unless he hates his life in this world, you know, you won't make the right believing response. The path that Jesus speaks about, he's about ready to be glorified. The very next thing he says is some good thing, a seed, is going to be put into the ground and die. Pass away. But that good thing being put into the ground and being buried over and passing away is going to bear fruit. The path, though, I just want you to see the path, will be to put some living thing, because a seed has life in it. That's what makes it different than a corpse. It has life in it. But you put some living thing into the ground and you let that living thing pass away. You can't ever recover the seed if it dies. Possibly those could be the good things of this life, right? Possibly it could be the approval of people. You know, as outstanding, as desirable that is in and of itself. Maybe it's put that in the ground. Let it pass away. Dig a little hole and bury it. See what happens. The path for you, path for me, the path for us, I think, is a path like his, where a believing response results in putting seeds into the ground in order that they can bear the fruit that God intends. So a life of believing will involve planting seeds. Next time when we come back to this, I want to talk a little bit more. I'm going to write a book someday. I'm just practicing on Paul stuff right now, by the way. But one of the real books, okay, is going to be called Coffins and Seeds. And this is a key verse on the seed side. Because God calls us to bury some things that are dead, that have been crucified with Christ. Some old man things that's died, bury it. That's put it in a coffin. There's no life in it, then walk in newness of life. But there are other things where he says, he gives you a seed, he gives me a seed. It's very precious. It's got life in it, life from God. And he says, you can do either one of two things. You can hang on to that seed forever, keep it on the shelf. It's very precious, it's got life in it, life from God. Or you can plant it. And when you plant it, you do exactly the same thing as you do with a coffin. You dig a hole, put it in a hole, put dirt back over it, and go away. The only difference that it is, does it really have life in it? It does, it will grow. I think a believing response to Jesus, the path involves, just like it did for his path, now is the Son of Man glorified. He's not going to just open the mega church across the street. He's going to plant a seed. Some good thing going into the ground. Maybe it's one of those hindrances for us. Maybe it's one of those hindrances to a believing response. Take that approval of men, of people. Take those good things of this life Like, are you willing to plant them? I don't know what it might mean for you or all of what it means for us. I do think it will involve that. It doesn't threaten the statement of faith. It will mark us off whether or not we're seeing the signs and responding in a believing manner. So I hope that challenges your thought, both individually and for us together. Let's close in prayer. Father, so many signs. Father, seen by people around Jesus at that time. Father, recorded for us by your servant John. Father, we pray that seeing the signs, Father, we might not go the way that Isaiah spoke of, but respond, Father, with bleeding hearts and confessing mouths. Father, things that would hinder us, the love of the approval of people, Father, life in this world, the things that would prevent us from planting the seed. Father, give us the understanding, give us the courage, Father, give us the faith, Father, to turn away from the hindrances and to plant the seeds. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for each individual here, I pray for Life Christian Fellowship. Father, were you to have a path for us that didn't win the approval of people, Father, we want to say to you, we will follow. Help us to that end, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.